We've all heard that word, that will be done. It is one of the most powerful four words in spirituality. Whether here or on the other side. But because we who are here don't really understand it, we actually walk away from it because we think, well, if we let God's will be done, it might not be what we want. So right there, it betrays where our thought forms are. It shows we don't trust enough. We don't have enough faith. Because why would Jesus? It's one of the greatest things Jesus offered to the world. Why would Jesus give it to us if he doesn't think it's that powerful? And you don't have to be a Christian to, because in other spiritual religious paths, that also is present. In Islam, you hear inshallah. It means if it's the will of God. Now, I'm going to break it down tonight, and it's not going to be a long talk. When they say that will be done, that is the operational word or energy in the astral world. Because there, what happens? They understand that whatever God offers us is always a blessing. God is so generous and kind, so magnanimous that all he wants to do is pour the blessings upon us. Now, let me give you examples. Because you and I and everyone else, eventually, we're going to leave this world. This body is going to drop. Your soul is going to move on. But guess what? Your character, your personality still follows you there. It doesn't die with your physical body. So if you are one of those who are very nosy, guess what? You carry it on. If you are one of those, you know, who is hooked on drugs, you carry it on. If you are so into physical beauty, you carry it on. And if you so much hate people or dislike people for whatever their gender, their background, it stays with you. So it's an error of thought to think because your body has shifted, then everything you've acquired here, then it's transformed. No, it's not. Now, there, you don't have to worry about, oh, I need to go to Safeway. I don't know even if Safeway is safe enough. I'm going to go buy some food. No. The moment you feel like you need some, it shows up. Now, that's God's blessings there. The rays, the cosmic rays feed you. Whatever it is, your thoughts are, is created there. You want to go visit a friend, you don't need Uber, and you don't need to buy Tesla, and you don't need to have a private helicopter or airplane. You are there. So wouldn't we want that here? Well, you don't have to do anything, you just need to study. You need to face your face your life. Now, what really gets us on that side is whatever we acquired here that you cannot use there. If you are so into money or beauty, what are you going to use there? Some euros, some pounds, some dollars, whatever form of money, you can't use it there because there's no need for it. And if you are so into physical beauty, nobody cares there about what you look like. The beauty that they see in you is that spiritual beauty. So if you die of drug overdose, He stays with you there, but nobody's going to be selling you any drugs there. So you can't get high. You can't get hooked. But the desire for that drug stays with you. And then when it's turned on, that's where the suffering is. It's like a thunder, boom. So whatever you acquire there and you get attached to, if it's fear, there's nothing for you to be afraid of there. But it stays with you. If you think, you're just going to punch somebody, yeah, when that desire comes on, who are you going to punch? And that's what we call the ultimate nightmare. Because the environment does not condone any of that. The environment doesn't see Republican, doesn't see Democrats. Even there's no grouping like, oh, we're Christians. Can you imagine if there are groupings, they are Christians, and they say, well, I'm Lutheran, I don't like evangelicals. There'll be chaos in the astral world. So there is peace, there is harmony. Now, whether you enjoy that peace or harmony is up to what you've acquired. Because if whatever it is you're guarding yourself into, that you've built yourself into here over time, and you find that you can't use it there. Even the love we talk about, because human love is very fickle. You love somebody because, well, they flatter you. Nobody's going to flatter you there. Whatever you thought, everybody can see what you're thinking. I mean, they don't judge you there. Because that's the whole thing. It's not that they don't see your thoughts, but nobody's going to be judging you. Plus, most of the people you'll be hanging out with are people that both you've all acquired the same essence, So nobody's, it's like the cripple making fun of the beggar. And that's the difference, because there they know God's will be done at all times, in all things. And that absolute faith and trust is there, because what else are they, what else can they do? They cannot create anything on their own without knowing that they are using God's power. So whatever you are into here, and you cannot use it there, it becomes a nightmare. Just like we get nightmares here. That's what, But God is so magnanimous. Let's use the example of somebody who's doped up, who overdosed and died. So because they cannot get fixed up there, it's very painful. It's like cold turkey. Every time they yearn for that, it's not going to happen. So it's like getting a flu that won't go, Eventually, what happens? Then they let it go. The presence of God, the power of God helps them. And then they can rest from it for as long as they are there. But it takes a period of time. And then if they come back here, don't forget that thing is still with them. That's why you can't judge, oh, this person drinks and it doesn't affect them. You don't know what you've acquired before. And then you drink even just one drop, and then it turns your life upside down. So, but while you are there, after you've gone through that phase, then you are able to rest from it. Because there is no point beating yourself up, because you know you're not going to get a fix. And that's why they encourage us while we're here. Trust and have faith in God. Put your engineered yourself in the thought of that perfect peace, perfect harmony, anything that has to do with with God. You don't need to use the word God. And that's why it's good for us to practice the presence. because that's what they do there. There's nothing else they can, you know. You feel the presence everywhere. You know, without that presence, nothing you can do. So if we practice that here, we will have that trust and faith. And it will be easier for us to say that will be done. Because then you know absolutely beyond any reasonable doubt that when you say God's will be done, you are getting a blessing, not a curse. But because of the way we've tuned ourselves here, because we don't trust God that way, it might be in. And then what we're afraid of actually shows up. It's not because God wants it. So you can imagine somebody who is sick, physical sickness. If you practice that presence of God and then you say, Lord, we ask for healing for this person, may that will be done. You can count on it. That healing will take place. But if that person is like, well, I don't know, God will might show up 3 years from now. I don't want to go through that. Guess what? They've self-circuited themselves. Because whatever your thoughts go on, and that's what comes to you. So both the angels, the holy ones, and all of that, depending on where each of us ended up in the astral, they all know God's will be done. And he's very faithful, and they know that. So they don't worry about that. Now, the other joke on us is when we're praying to our ancestors or for those who say, oh, well, Father, why won't you do something? You know, some people don't believe in that. You know? Like, oh, Mother, why won't you? You are there. I need help. Whoever is there, help me, you know. Well, guess what? It's not your mother or your father or whoever loves you so much that's going to help you. It is the power of God. Because whatever energy they've held, it's like if we're calling on Jesus now, for those of us who are Christians. It's not that energy of Jesus. Because Jesus has long been gone, isn't it? But the energy of God that has kept that power that God gave Jesus. That's what will be activated. Do we understand what I'm saying here? It would be if I leave my body and some of you are saying, hey, Baba Moses, do something about it. Baba Moses is busy learning his own trade there. But it's the power of God that has kept each of us that would be triggered, then that would come forth. So then how come we can't trust that God? And that's why over there, you don't like rain. Well, fine. The moment you think of sunshine, yeah. But if you say, I don't like rain, it becomes painful for you. Because it's negative, you don't like. Just say you want sunshine, that's it. You don't need to say, I don't like. Yeah. That's why you can't go around there, well, I hate you, or I don't like you. There's nothing like that. Even the so-called Satan, he has his own zone. He cannot operate there. What is he going to do there? Tempt people there? So the Lord's Prayer Jesus gave here, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He knew what he was talking about here on earth as it is done in heaven, because it would be fun if God's will is done here on earth. We won't be killing each other because there'll be no hatred. There'll be no all this anger, jealousy, pettiness. There'll be none of that here on earth as it is done in heaven. And then Jesus really did it well. Say, give us this day our daily bread. Because there, every time, it's easy. You don't need to say, okay, I need to zoom to work or I need to drive to work. No, who gives you your daily bread there? Do you have to go to Safeway or Whole Foods? No, God provides all of that. So Jesus was saying that, look, now that we're here in a lower form, God, give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Because the sins he's talking about is that we do not know who we are. We do not know our relationship with God, that everything is supposed to be pleasant for us. That's how God rules. And forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Remember, wherever your thought goes. So how can you ask God to forgive you when you don't want to forgive somebody else? So it's not that God won't forgive you. You are the one who won't forgive yourself because you're wishing bad on the other person. And then the anchor to all of that, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because the evil of temptation is really, really bad. Because then what are you going to be tempted with? Oh, you're going to say, oh, look at that. I like that man. I like that woman. Oh, we're going to have great sex. Nobody is having that there because there's no need for that. Oh, we're going to give birth. Who are you going to give birth to? Oh, that's my mother. That's my father. There's no mother or father there. You only have God as your mother and father. Even when you see the people you recognize who were your mother and father, they have their own business. They went, hey, hello. Then you find that you are equal. That is no longer your father or mother. Or how many mothers will you choose after all these incarnations? Huh? You won't even know which one is your mother. Which one do you love most? Because now they line them up. You don't know how many incarnations. Okay, these are your several mothers. And so when Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The temptation is right here. Because, oh, we want to be like the Joneses. Oh, I want to be famous. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to. And the one that matters to be present, to just say, we know God and I'm. No, we totally forget about that. We focus on things that are not so important. And that's why when we die and the soul moves on, oh, it is a resting place. Because then you don't have to say, well, all these people of color, all these immigrants or LGBT or whatever it is, or all these pet lovers. Well, we've heard story, cat lovers don't like dog lovers, and you know. And don't expect if you are there, oh, your favorite cat will come. No, they go to their own zone. So whatever it is you're trying to avoid, that is distracting you, you can use it there. And you can say, I'm applying to Harvard. What Harvard? They have each of us have our own teacher, depending on the consciousness. You go to the school that you are needed. And you can't drive, oh, I want to drive a Tesla or Lamborghini or whatever. No, none of that. And so Jesus really, that Lord's Prayer, he did it, if we pay attention to it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because when we are tempted, it takes us away from what is most important. And that's why they say, if spiritually you are focused here, then you can truly enjoy it there. Because then you won't be fighting yourself. Because spirit is about love and generosity and kindness. For us to be able to walk hand in hand together, to care for each other. Because that's how it works on the other side. So if you're already doing that, you are kind to each other, you are generous, you look after each other. Then when you go there, you won't be a stranger where everybody, because like this one doesn't know, oh, this must be a new arrival because he doesn't know what he's doing. And so that word, that will be done, that is the magic code in all levels of dimension. Even those who are fully realized, everything is thought forms. When they want to create something, when they want to be, because they are connecting to that God's will, is fully present. And that's why they said the presence of God. To me, sometimes when I want to practice the presence of God, what do? I listen. It's one of the sweetest things to do. You are no longer talking because every time you pray. No, you are listening. And that way, that means this, the Christ Center and your hearts are connected. So you are listening. Try it whenever you meditate. Try to listen. Don't go, because then it also quiets your mind. Just listen. Because then you can actually hear that voice of God that has always been with you. It's not sitting somewhere in the sky or in the ocean. It's there with you. And then you can actually have a conversation. Okay, I heard this. What does this mean? What should I do? So God's will be done. And when we know that, then we don't question some things. Or we don't, when God's plan for the person you love, and you only have it, you say, oh Lord, I like the way you give. Oh yes, thank you for giving me to win this lotto. Could you also extend this to the other person? You don't know God's plan for that person. Why are you trying to impose? Let God's will be done in that person's life, because that's the operational thing on the other side. Because now you are trying to pull that person into what is your own arena. You don't know what their thought forms are. You don't know what, you know. Otherwise, all of us would be behaving the same way, isn't it? And we're all guilty of that. People we love, we want everything to be hunky-dory for them. Leave them alone and let God's will be done in their lives. And you can count on it. Because if you trust God that God who has blessed you will bless them, then you won't be worried about that. Because if God can bless you, especially if you are naughty, don't you think God will also bless the other person because that person is also naughty? You know? So we need to acquire that instead of acquiring the wrong thing. Now that leads me to this story. That's how we're going to end up our night. Well, I'll try to explain this better because the English is sort of, why not everyone can see God? In other words, why is it that everyone can not see God? The king requests to God. Once there was a king who was, you could tell the, okay. Once there was a king who cared so much about justice and cared for his subjects, I'm translating. He was religious by nature and used to worship and remember God with great reverence. One day God showed up. In other words, God is pleased with the king. the way the king worship God, he practice the presence. He's not in, okay. And God appeared in front of him and said, I am very happy with you. Tell me, what do you have? Do you have any desire? What do you want? You can count on it. God does that. If you really, caring and you let God's will prevail, when you listen to it, God will ask you. You might think God doesn't know your birthday. God knows your birthday. God might ask, what do you want for your birthday? And you will know you are not the one making it up. You know this is, and it's not your papa or your mama who has. King who loved his subjects said, I have everything given by you. In other words, you've given me everything. There's all kind of happiness and peace in this kingdom by your grace. Still, I have only one wish, that just as you blessed me by appearing in front of me, in same way bless all my subjects. Please also give them a chance to see you. Now you see what we're talking about. It is not possible. God tried to explain, but King, who loved the subject, started insisting to God. Eventually, God had to agree to his request and said, okay, tomorrow, bring all your subjects to the top of the mountain, and they will be able to see me and meet me. Hearing this, the king was very pleased and thanked God. As we've read, as we know in those days, when the king says something, everybody, they pay attention. So The announcement went out. Okay, the king said we should assemble at so-so-so time at by the base of the mountain because we're all going to go up to the moon. So announcement was made in the whole kingdom that tomorrow everyone should gather at foot of mountain, and from there all will go to top of mountain with king to get a glimpse of God, as God himself will be present. I'm sure if somebody said to them, we say, oh yeah, oh cool, oh. Next, the king started walking towards the top of the mountain with all his subjects and relatives. It's not just the subject, including his wife, his children, his sister, brother, like Moses did. On the way, they also saw a mountain covered with copper coins. And the moment they saw that, I mean, won't you, if you go to manhood and it's covered with, some money we can use. That's a dollar bills or whatever. Or Bitcoin. That's what we have now, right? Bitcoin. So some people from amongst of them started running towards it. The wise king alerted everyone that no one should pay attention to these things because we're all going to meet God. Don't leave once in a lifetime chance for these copper coins. But some people were possessed by greed, thinking, well, if I don't take the chance now, I might not ever get another chance. Ran towards the heap containing copper coins and started walking towards their home. They grabbed as much bundles as they can of coins. Because people were thinking, they might, first, I should collect these coins. I can meet God some other time. Seeing this, the king was very sad. His heart was heavy. Like, you're going to give God up for copper coins? Seriously? Really? After walking some distance, then on the mountain again, they saw silver coins appeared, gleaming silver coins. This time also, some other people ran doing the same thing, and then they go home. People were thinking such an opportunity does not come again and again. It's like, I cannot get so many silver coins again, but God can be found some other time. Similarly, after walking some distance, a mountain of gold coins was seen. Now, all the people doing the same thing, they carry bundles of gold coins to their home. Now, only the king and the queen were left. The king started saying to the queen, can you believe this? Look how that greed or distraction has kept these people from seeing. Look how greed controlled them. They lost the chance to meet God for these worldly things. They do not know the importance of meeting God. What is the wealth of the whole world in front of God? When they forget that God is the creator of all there is. It is true. The queen supported the king's words. Then they started moving forward with the queen, the queen and king. After walking some distance, the king and queen saw something shining coming from the mountain too. When they looked towards it, they saw it was filled with diamonds. Now, even the queen couldn't resist. She ran towards that mountain, leaving the king behind. She started making bundles of them and kept collecting as if she was trying to get every single one to take with her. Seeing this, the king felt very guilty and disillusioned. With a very sad heart, the king went ahead alone. There, God was really waiting for him standing. Seeing the king, the god smiled and asked, where are your people and your loved ones? I've been eagerly waiting for them to meet them. The king bowed his head in shame and self-condemnation. Then God explained to the king, those who consider material worldly attainment more than me in their life, they cannot see me or meet me. Not only that, they are also deprived of my affection and praise. Not because God doesn't want to give it, but because that's what they are so focused on. I mean, if somebody won't let you into their house, unless you are a thief, then you break in the door. If somebody say, no, I don't want to have a relationship with you, unless you're a stalker or you are crazy in the head, you will leave them alone, won't it? So it's not that God doesn't want to give them the affection and grace, but they reject it. They don't want it. So even it's just like a child, when you are telling a kid, if they don't want to hear that, don't do that, then you let the child learn. So imagine that. When the Lord told the king, shouldn't the king have said, you know, have that faith, knowing that God knows exactly what God is doing? Like, no, it's not possible, because I know the hearts of these people. There are other things in that they're distracted, and we are those people. Every one of us, there's always something that distracts us from finding God within us, and God is right there, waiting for us, ready to bless us with everything. But we choose the little things. We let our attachment, our fear, anxiety, whatever it is, our resentment, pettiness, anger, jealousy, we let it distract us from the blessings of God. Now, that is the difference between this world and the other world. There's nothing there to distract them. Well, there are some little things that distract them. Because some of them, if they get into the spiritual essence, now they want to quickly, you know, yeah. No, you got no, this is the duration that you need to spend before you go to the next level. But at least that's a good distraction. They want to get closer to God. They are not thinking of, you know, all this other stuff. So let us know and let us be grateful to Jesus and all the holy ones who have shown us to say, God's will be done, thy will be done. Don't be afraid to say, God's will be done. Make your request, but then let God's will be done, and then be okay with it. Even Jesus, during his crucifixion, when he said, oh, Lord, is there a way we can restructure this contract? He said, oh, well, okay, Lord. For because of this, I was born. Said, God, let thy will be done. Not what I want, but what you want. Because even when it looks like suffering, that's the key. Even when you think it looks like suffering, when you ask God and you meant it, that God's will be done, it always ends up in your favor. So always a blessing. May we, as true children of God, always remember that. May God's will be done in our lives. Amen. Mm-hmm.